Today we find once again journeying through the book of Acts. And what an amazing event takes place in the beginning of Acts chapter 10 through about verse number 34 and even onward. And we'll see how far we get into the chapter. We're kind of putting the whole chapter into this message, but we won't read the entire chapter, okay? But the theme of this message is the gospel to the Gentiles. The gospel to the Gentiles. Let's read responsively, if you would, with me, from Acts chapter 10, verse number 1, down to verse number 8. Acts 10, 1 to 8. We'll read that responsively. I'll read verse 1, and then you join with me every other verse. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before me. For God, yes, thank you. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time, and then we'll be seated. And we'll see what God has for us today. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to have this meeting from the beginning at 10 this morning and the singing and the lesson on becoming a disciple and the education of a disciple to the hymn history, worship the King, and crowning you and all of it, God, a giving of our tithes. Father, thank you that we can gather together in this way. Thank you for the visitors that have joined with us today. Thank you for the technology to be able to have a live stream meeting. We pray, Lord, that it would not just be a meeting. There would be a movement in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. Caesarea was a predominantly Roman city on the shores of the Mediterranean See in Judea. Caesarea was the headquarters of the Roman governor of the province of Judea. And we find that within even this one little verse, the verses that we read today, that there were Gentiles who loved the God of Israel. They were sympathetic to and supportive of the Jewish faith. We see that even in Cornelius, as it says that he gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Yet they stopped short of becoming a full Jew in their lifestyle and in their faith. Now, I believe that we see here in Cornelius' life that while he wasn't saved, if you will, yet, he was definitely someone. And we'll talk about this later, who feared God. And we see that in verse number 2. It's specifically written out for us. We at Anchor Baptist Church are well aware that God loves all people. God does not love just Canadian, pale skin like me. I guess maybe I've got a little bit dark skin, but he doesn't love just one ethnic group. He doesn't just love the Jew. He doesn't just love whoever we could think of today. God loves the world. He loves the Gentile. Praise the Lord. I'm a Gentile. He loves the Jew as well. He loves the Canadian. He loves the Mexican. He loves Europeans. He loves Africans. Now I'm naming continents. But you get what I'm saying. We know, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Now, at this point in church history, though, the gospel has primarily been given and preached to the Jews. Unfortunately, there was in this day, as there still is today, there was a very evident prejudice between Jews and between Gentiles. And it went both ways, quite frankly. And then there were also the Samaritans in the mix, and so forth and so on. But there was a prejudice. There was a prejudice even within the church. Oh, and may that never be the case at Anchor Baptist Church. And if it is, may God show us where it is, and may God correct us, that we would be withholding the gospel from anyone because of their nationality, because of how they speak, or because of the culture in which they are from, because we know God loves all people groups. We learn that in this text in an emphatic way when God speaks to Peter in an incredible, again, Peter, right? When God speaks to Peter in an unusual fashion. We're going to get to that, though. So let's take a look at our outline. Number one, we see, and this is what we read about, the call of the Lord. The call of the Lord. The first call that the Lord makes, letter A, is to Cornelius. Cornelius. That's who we read about just a few moments ago. Who is Cornelius? Well, Cornelius is an officer in the Roman army. Cornelius is responsible for at least 100 soldiers. You see that? He is a centurion. A centurion. That means he takes care of at least 100 soldiers. Centurion, C-N, that's a 100, okay? And it was soldiers, not a band, all right? When it says band here, it's not talking about a band, you know, with the drums and all of that. That would be a big band, wouldn't it? And it's talking about a group of soldiers. And Cornelius is in charge of these soldiers. He is someone, as we said a moment ago, I'd like to read verse 2. He is someone who feared God. Notice it says he was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Here we see someone who in some way, again, we aren't privy to all of this information, but obviously in some way, Cornelius has been exposed to the one true God. Maybe it was those Jews who walked before him. Maybe it was their testimony. We know that God put it in his heart in Romans chapter 1, as he's put it in everyone's heart, including you today, including me today. And Cornelius is responding to the light, if you will, that God has given him. He is praying to a God he doesn't even know in a personal, in a intimate way. He's praying because this is what he believes. This is what God would have him to do, even though he doesn't understand it all. He's a religious man. The problem is, though, he's a Gentile, and that's not a problem. But in this time, it was a problem because, again, the gospel had yet to go to the Gentile. But here's a note. When anyone responds to the truth that God gives them, God will give them more truth. I believe Cornelius was exposed in some way to the light of God, and he was responsible with that light that he had been given. And so then God was willing, which he always does, because he's not willing that any should perish, that God speaks to him in a supernatural way. I believe we could say, though, that God, that because the Bible tells us this, that that Cornelius was a God-fearing man. Have you ever heard that said before about someone? I mean, I'm talking about someone who's not a Christian necessarily. But you've maybe said this or you've heard it said about somebody. That's a God-fearing man. In other words, they're living their life in a moral way. They're living their life in kindness. They're like Cornelius. He was someone who prayed. He gave alms. You know, I can think about, there's a lot of devout. The word devout is listed there about him. There's a lot of devout people today that are caught up in religious systems. They're devout. In fact, some of them are more devout than you and I who know the Lord and are saved and are on our way to heaven. They're devout within their system of religion that is not going to take them to heaven, and yet they're very devout and they're very committed, and yes, they are God-fearing people. I believe that's the way Cornelius was living his life. The problem was he was religious but lost. He was devout and kind and helpful, but he was lost. But God cared for him, and God sends an angel to Cornelius. Now remember, he doesn't have the Bible like you and I have today. God worked in different ways and in different methods than he does today. God still works today. I've never had an angel come to me and tap me on the shoulder and say, "Now, Ben, I have a message for you." Do you know why that hasn't happened to me? It's because God has revealed himself completely in his word. And if I need to know something from God, God is going to reveal it through his word. God is going to reveal it through his spirit who indwells me all the time. He's going to reveal himself in creation. He's going to reveal himself in circumstances that come into my life. And yet this is God. This is the beginning of the church. This is the beginning of the gospel to the Gentiles. I'm not saying God doesn't speak and God doesn't do miracles today, but I believe this is what God uses to speak to us today. The Holy Spirit is who God uses to speak to us today, and on it goes. But God sends Cornelius a messenger, a special messenger, an angel who has a special message. And this message is basically, I want you to send some servants over to Joppa. Now remember, we know that's where Peter is because that's where we left him the last time that we talked about it. And he says, I want you to go and I want you to look for a man. His name is Simon Peter. He's at Simon the Tanner's house. And that's where you're going to find him. He has a message for you. What is God doing? God, because God loves Cornelius, because God loves Gentiles, because God loves Jews, because God loves you, and because God loves me, God is putting Cornelius on a collision course with someone who's going to preach the gospel to him. He is taking Cornelius, who is religious but lost, who fears God, who's praying, and he's going to put him on a collision course with Peter. Now, he's got to get Peter ready for Cornelius. And by the way, this is happening all the time in 2021. Not in the very same way, but in a very same way, yes. God is preparing you because there is someone who's going to come across your path who needs the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, as children of God, need to be ready. We need to be ready with the gospel. We need to be ready with hope to give people. This is exactly what's happening. I love Acts chapter number 10, and I love the collision course that God is bringing them on. So the call of the Lord, letter A, first was to Cornelius. Then, letter B, it was to Peter. See, God now has planted the seed in Cornelius, and he says, okay, Cornelius, send some men to Joppa. And by the way, we learned in verse number 8, and when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. So Cornelius gives the instructions, and they began their journey. Now notice verse 9, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, all right? So the next day, here they go. They're on their way. They're walking. We're going to find some guy named Simon at the Tanner's house. Not the Turner's house, the Tanner's house, okay? Just making sure you're following me there, okay? And I don't know what this is a strange request. But He's our master. He's our boss, so to speak. And so we're going to do that. And at the very same time, this is how God works. They're on their way to Joppa to look for somebody they've never met. And at the very same time, the Bible says, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. The sixth hour. That's noon. All right? About noon. 6 a.m. was when the day started. So this is for the Jews. And so this is about noon. Peter goes onto the rooftop to pray. And maybe Peter had been fasting. I don't know. It doesn't tell us this. But maybe he didn't have his morning, whatever they had in the morning. I don't know what they had in the morning. A fig or something, I don't know. But whatever it is, he didn't have it. And so the Bible says he became very hungry. Have you ever been there? Your stomach just starts growling like about right now. You're wanting Pastor Turner to get to the point of Acts 10. Because, you know, I can smell lunch in the oven or whatever. He became very hungry and would have eaten. He was thinking about food, I guess, you know. He was preparing it. He was up there praying, but he on his mind was food, too. His stomach was growling while he was praying, you know. You've probably had that happen. And the Bible says he fell into a trance. He fell into a trance. He forgot about the food, and all of a sudden he saw heaven open. He was dreaming. Dreaming. Have you ever dreamed like this? Wow. And a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things. What a sight! And then there were fowls of the air, okay, like birds of some, birds, right? And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Isn't this something? This is Peter, right? Not so, Lord. No, Lord. Not doing it." Hey, Peter, at least he was honest, right? And he'd speak his mind. Well, he spoke his mind here too. "For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice. Three times. And the vessel was received up into heaven. What is this all about? Well, again, he's up on the rooftop. He's hungry. He's praying, though. God sends him into a trance. Remember, the gentlemen are on their way from Caesarea to Joppa. And they have a specific plan. They're going to find Simon Peter, who's at Simon the Tanner's house. And he's going to tell them something. We don't know what he's going to tell him. He's going to tell him something. This vision that Peter receives, it wasn't because he had too many anchovies on his pizza. Okay? This wasn't that kind of a vision. You've had those and I've had those if you put those on your pizza. No, this was a direct and divine dream, if you will, from God Almighty. In other words, what was beginning here? What was happening here? It wasn't so much that Peter saw this funny-looking sheet come down out of the sky and have all these animals all over it, and God says, eat things that you've never eaten before because they were against the Jewish dietary law. That wasn't the whole part of this picture. It was this. God was opening Peter's heart to the group of people that have yet to have the gospel come to them. God is opening Peter's heart to be willing to minister to the Gentiles. He was moving his heart to have compassion on the Gentiles. Verse 13, "And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat." You see, God, in this statement, is abolishing the Old Testament Jewish dietary laws. These laws separated, in many cases, Jews and Gentiles. The Jews had a way of eating, and the Gentiles had a way of eating. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the church? The church is supposed to be many different things, but one thing the church is supposed to be is unified. Can you imagine coming together, and I'm a Jew, you're a Gentile, I eat this way, you eat this way? Can you imagine the confusion that would come in? And so God here is saying the dietary laws have been done away with. The separation there has been done away with. What does the body of Christ do to all people groups. You know what it does? It's a body for a reason. It brings all people groups together. The dietary laws of the Jews separated them from everyone. The church brings everyone together. We need the fingers. We need the toes. We need the elbows. We need the wrists. We need the arms, the legs. The body of Christ is about bringing everyone together for the glory of God. I believe that we could say that the sheet in verse 11 is the church. You see that? Verse 11. And saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it is had been a great sheet. There are clean and unclean animals in this sheet, by the way. There are Jew and there are Gentiles in the local church, in the body of Christ. Because remember, when we get saved, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no male, there is no female, the Bible tells us in that sense. The sheet and all the items that are in it, you see what happens? In verse number 16, the vessel was received up again into heaven. What are we waiting for? What are we anticipating? We're anticipating the rapture of the church. We're anticipating the believers to be called home. What believers are going to be called, taken up in the rapture? All of them. Doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter what food they like or don't like. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. What matters is, have they come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they a part of that church, if you will, in the sense of, have they been saved? Just like the church is going to be received up very soon, that's what happened in this vision to Peter. Again, we have to try to pull ourselves back and think as Peter would be thinking. What is happening here? He doesn't know that Cornelius' servants are on the way. God knows that. God is working in Peter's heart in the midst of this very strange vision that he's having with all these creatures, clean and unclean, all of them together. What is this all about? Again, God was preparing the way for the Gentiles to be saved. God was preparing the way for future Gentiles to be saved. Not just Cornelius, but Lydia, and on and on and on the stories that we're going to learn about. And God wanted to use a human instrument to deliver the gospel to Cornelius. Could God have said to the angel, now tell him about me and tell him about the gospel? Yes, God could have done it that way. But God said, no, I want you to send someone to find a guy named Simon Peter. He's got a message for you. And by the way, that's what God wants to do in your life and my life. Deliver the message of the gospel to anyone and everyone. Deliver the message that Jesus saves to anyone and everyone. Could God have done it another way? Yes, but God left it with the church. Go ye therefore and preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have that beautiful and wonderful responsibility, just like Peter is learning that he's going to have. Well, first we see, number one, the call of the Lord. The call of the Lord. And by the way, the call of the Lord continues today. The call of the Lord continues in the life of the sinner. I want to ask you today, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you accepted God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection? If you were to die today, do you know 100% sure that you would be in heaven? I want to say, if you do not know that, God is calling you today. God is calling you today. God is not willing that you perish. God wants you to go to heaven. God wants you to humble yourself. God's provided everything. God is still calling you today. And by the way, God is still calling those of us that know Him to share that gospel message. Oh, I wonder today, would you be saved today? Would you bow the knee today? Would you humble yourself? Would you be even like a Cornelius and continue to respond to what God is doing in your life? Number one, we see the call of God. Number two, we see the cooperation of godly men. The cooperation of godly men. Verse 17. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. So here's Peter just shaking his head. What was Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Well, what do you know? The timing, right? God's timing. You know, God is sovereign. And we need to thank Him for that. You know, we have a certain timing that we would like, but we need God's timing. We need God's sovereign will to be done. We need that. I think it's like this. It's like coming to an intersection at the same time, boom. And in a good way, not in an automobile accident, but coming to an intersection at the same time, boom. Peter's sitting there trying to figure this thing out, and here comes these men at the gate who God had sent via Cornelius. Verse number 18, and called and asked whether Simon, whose surname of Peter, is Simon still here? Is there a Simon Peter in the house? While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, notice that, the Holy Spirit, capital S, Peter, three men are looking for you. Three men seek thee. Rise therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent. Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am whom ye seek. What is this cause wherewith ye are come? They said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the who? Jews. He's got a good standing with the Jews. He's not a Jew, he's a Gentile. But again, he cares for the people. He takes care of them. Was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Wow. Can you imagine what's going through Peter's head? Just spinning right now. He's just had this vision. Here's three guys saying, a Gentile centurion by the name of Cornelius has sent us. God told him to send us to get you because you're going to tell him something. Wow. Then called he them in and lodged them. Letter A, Peter provides lodging. This is huge, by the way. That Peter, a Jew, would have Gentiles under his roof. And again, you say, how could that be the case? It was the case. Not only that, but a soldier nonetheless. The Jews did not like the soldiers at all. Remember what many of the Jews wanted Jesus to do? They wanted him to establish a kingdom then. And when he didn't, they were greatly and sorely disappointed. And so not only does he have Gentiles in his house, but he has a soldier in his house. He provides lodging. Letter B, Cornelius welcomes Peter. Verse number 24, and the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, this was about 9 to 10 hour journey on foot, approximately. And Cornelius waited for them. Do you see that? Waited for them. And had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Not even saved, but yet he wants there to be other people. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. Remember, maybe Peter's remembering the Mount of Transfiguration. What do you think? No, don't worship me. You don't reverence me. I myself also am a man. As he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Letter B, Cornelius welcomes Peter. Cornelius did have some faith. The Bible says here in verse number 24, I think you ought to make note of that Cornelius waited for them. I believe that signifies that there was already a level of faith. I don't think he was a believer yet, possibly, but there was a level of faith that he was anticipating Peter coming with the men. How did he know Peter was going to receive the invitation? He didn't know that. So there was some faith. He was waiting for them, anticipating Peter. We know that as well, because he went around and he said, hey, I've got a man coming who God told me to go. They're going to be coming back again. Faith. How did he know he was coming? He anticipated that he was coming by faith. He got his kinsmen. He got his family. He got his friends. He got everybody that he could fit into his home. And you know what? I look at this and I think, okay, Cornelius wasn't saved, but Cornelius had a testimony worth listening to. That those people were willing to take Cornelius at his word and come to his house. Well, how do you know he's coming, Cornelius? Well, I just believe he is. You got to be here. That's an amazing, it's a fascinating statement to me that he was waiting for them. It's also a very challenging thought that here's an unbeliever, as far as we know, maybe he's already a believer by this point, it doesn't really matter, but here's someone who's searching and searching and searching, and his testimony is worth following. And yet, remember what happened to Lot? Remember Lot? What a testimony. A bad one. Lot was a righteous man. He was saved. That's what the New Testament tells us. Reading it in the Old Testament, we may not necessarily think that, but then in the New Testament it says, righteous Lot. And yet when Lot's family is about ready to go through fireballs from judgment of God, and Lot says to his wife, let's go, and Lot says to his daughters, let's go, and Lot says to his sons-in-laws, let's go, and what do? They mock him. They don't go, they don't believe him. Why did they not believe their father-in-law? It must be. This is the only thing I can conclude, that his testimony, that his word was not worth following. And yet he was a believer. And then we see Cornelius, though, is a man of honor, a man who was a God-fearing man. Cornelius was seeking God. By the way, God responded to his seeking. God always responds to our seeking. What does it say in Matthew 7? Let's go back to Matthew 7 quickly. Matthew 7. We're looking at Cornelius and welcoming of Peter and what he was preparing and what he was planning on doing and getting it ready. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. What is it you need today? You've got to ask. What are you seeking today? Keep seeking. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. To he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Don't stop knocking. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop asking. Here it is in the sense of Cornelius, who's trying to find Christ and trying to find God in his life. And those of us that are saved and on our way to heaven, this principle Jesus is giving applies to us. Keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. God is going to answer in the right time. When it's best for you and it's best for me, He will come through. God responded to this Gentile general, sergeant, if you will, this important man, this devout man, this God-fearing man. He was seeking and God responded to his seeking. God never restricts his full light from those who are seeking it. Never. Number one, we see the call of the Lord. He got Cornelius ready. Then he got Peter ready. Then we see the cooperation, number two, of godly men working together. Peter helps the lodging. Cornelius welcomes Peter. Then number three, we see the conviction of Peter. Look at verse 27. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. In other words, he starts off by saying, I'm not even supposed to be here. I'm not really supposed to be in this house right now. This is what he says. But look what he says in verse 28. but God. But God. In other words, I'm wrong. I should be here. I should be here delivering this message. He said, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. God came down to me today and he showed me in an unusual way that I should never have a prejudice toward any man, woman, ever again. That I should never look at someone as a Jew or as a Gentile, common or uncommon, clean or unclean. God showed it to me. And by the way, God showed it to you too. And God showed it to me too, that he's concerned about everyone coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And then he says, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. It means I did not delay. They slept one night in the house and away they went. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. Isn't this something? And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither. And he tells what we've already kind of heard already. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth, said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You see, I look at this. We're going to give a couple things here in just a minute. But I look at this and I kind of go back to verse 28 and 29. And you know what I see in Peter here? I see Peter was teachable. I see Peter was saying, this is what I thought, but God showed me different. This is what I thought it was going to be, and this is how I was going to do it, but God showed me something different. You know what, church? That's what we need to be. It doesn't matter if you've been saved 40 years or 4 years. It doesn't matter if you could do whatever, and it's impressive, I'm sure. The point is this, I need to learn every day. There may be something in my life that I'm doing that I think it's the right way, but God shows me something different, and you know what I need to do? Change. I might be conducting myself in a manner that I think is appropriate, but then God convicts me of that, and he says, no, that's not appropriate. That's not how you should speak to someone. That's not how you should this or that. You know what I need to be? I need to be like Peter, and I need to say, but God revealed it unto me in his word, through his spirit, and you know what? I'm changing. I'm not going to do it that way anymore because God is in control of my life. Peter was a teachable man here. Peter had stayed with Simon the tanner. I believe that was also part of Peter's preparation. A tanner was someone who would have worked with unclean animals. Just the fact, and that tanning means with taking their skin and using it for whatever use they could use it for. This was, again, something that would not have been looked on kindly. I believe this as well was how God was working. In other words, what I'm saying is, as you look through Acts chapter number 10, you have to see, unless your eyes are closed, spiritually speaking, that God was preparing two men for one moment. But it wasn't just those two men. It was going to be something that would end up affecting you and me. Because the gospel had yet to come. The Gentile yet. Letter A. Jesus Christ eliminates the distinction between Jew Gentile. Romans 10:12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Galatians 3:27-28, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. I was quoting this earlier. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. The traditional prejudices had to be put away once and for all. Jesus Christ did not die for one group of people. He died for all. He eliminates the distinction between Jew and Gentile. Letter B, as we come to a close. Everyone is a prospect that needs to hear the gospel. Everyone is a prospect that needs to hear the gospel. Earlier I said it in verse 29, if you'll make note of it, without gainsaying. Without gainsaying. There was no delay. Now remember, this is Peter. Remember Acts 2? We talked about Acts 2 months ago. Peter was the preacher there at Pentecost. The gospel was preached. Thousands of people were saved. And we've journeyed through Acts and we've seen in the middle of nowhere the Ethiopian eunuch getting saved. This person getting saved. Gospel going. This is the same gospel that needed to be preached in Caesarea. Only this time, it was preached to a different group of people. It was the same gospel. Today, all across this area and all across the area wherever you live, there are people with various educational backgrounds. There are people with various financial standings. There are people with very challenging things that are in their life. There are people that have made it to this point, and it's a miracle that they've made it to this point, which is all of us, but oh, there's some stories and cases that come to mind. There are people all around the world, culturally speaking, they don't eat like you and they don't eat like me. I've been there. I've been to Muhindi in Uganda and sat in a house that's with quotes around it. It was a mud house. I'm not being unkind at all, but it looked a little different than the setting at my dinner table last night. I'll tell you what, we sat there on benches. I think we got the royal treatment because we were from Canada, and so we actually got to sit on a bench. And a bowl was brought in, and they were again treating us not like the Mohindians, if that's what they're called, because they had silverware. Somewhere they found silverware. I have no idea where they found it. But it didn't look like where I had my meal last night. You know what? I'm so glad the gospel, that day and that week that we were there, there was a brand new Independent Baptist Church started, Faith Baptist Church in Mohindi. And years later now, I can't remember how many years ago that was. I think it was 7 years ago. It could have been a lot, it could have been longer. The gospel is being broadcast from that mountain, and there's actually a church building there. And you could go there someday. I hope to go there. I hope to go there this year, actually. I'm praying to go there this year to see Pastor Zebedee. And then I've been to other places where they take the bread. You don't use any silverware. You take a little piece of bread and you just dip it down in and you eat. Use your hand. Some people would say, oh, wow. You know, that's the prejudices that we think. You know, most of you know this. I was born in America, United States of America, and many times Americans have this idea that if it's not done the way we do it in America, it's not done the right way. That's just a bunch of pride. Unfortunately, that's been, many people have lived that way, and they've had that. That's not all Americans, all Canadians, or wherever. When is this? I'm not going into a place, I'm not going into an area to cause someone to think about me and how I do it. You see, God brought Cornelius, a Gentile, and Peter, a Jew, together. The day before they met, they wouldn't have been eating the same foods. Think of this now. Cornelius looked at a menu and he would have ordered this, this, and this. And if that same menu would have been offered to Peter, he wouldn't have been able to choose this, this, and this. God set that aside. He's just a story. It's an illustration God's giving us. He sets all that aside. He says, no, I'm bringing you together for a greater goal and a greater purpose. That Cornelius and Mrs. Cornelius and all the people that are in the Cornelius' home can hear the preaching of the gospel of God. And then now, 2,000 plus years later, the gospel has been given to you, to me. It's our responsibility to continue to give that gospel message. The gospel that was preached in Jerusalem at Pentecost needed to be preached at Caesarea and the house of Cornelius. And the gospel that was preached in Caesarea and the house of Cornelius needs to be preached in the house that you live in today, in the house that I live in today, and in the houses of all of those in our area and in the area wherever you live. It is the power of the gospel that changed the life of Cornelius, the life of his family, not just then,